Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And we are going to continue on our message, The Temple of the Living God. Basically, this teaching is a comparison of the Old Testament temple to the New Testament temple that God has. And we were looking at 8 aspects of the building of the temple. First of all, just a brief review, the thought originated with God. God appeared to Moses when he was in the mount. He gave them an instruction, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He also gave David specific instructions for the physical temple that was to be built at Jerusalem through his son Solomon. God always takes the first step. Remember, Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So God took the first step to bring us to Him, and then the foundation was laid by God. And we understand the New Testament says no other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then we saw the material was unfit to begin with. They had foreigners or aliens who were in the land of Israel. They did this stone cutting work. They hewed wrought stones. And then they brought them to the location. And of course, the New Testament scripture I shared was 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And basically, Paul says, you know, you were all these things. You were adulterers, you were thieves, you were drunkards, you were fornicators. And we were in such a condition, but God cleaned us up. He cleaned us up. He made us a pretty wrought stone. And then we were fit to be put in the temple of God. That's what happens when we're saved. We immediately have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's still working on us because we have the flesh nature in our soul that we have to contend with, but God will help us. We're to mortify the deeds of the body. And some of the materials are won in battle. I gave a scripture, 1 Chronicles 26:7, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And of course, David had vast wealth. He gave of his personal wealth as well as the spoils won in the many victories that he had. And so also we know we were the spoils that were won in battle. Jesus, he was in the battle of his life. He overcame the forces of the devil. And we, as a result of that supreme battle, we are now released from the captivity of the devil and translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. And so, all right, there was a great variety of materials. That's number 5. We looked at that yesterday. And just as there was gold, silver, brass, iron, today there's tremendous diversity in the body of Christ. God loves uniqueness. He loves diversity. It is a beautiful picture of diversity. The physical temple had gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. And in the New Testament, Paul refers to Timothy. He's talking about a great house. There's vessels of gold, silver, also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. And if you purge yourself from the works of dishonor, you will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Praise God. You'd be a wonderful stone. So now we're going to look at verse 6. The stones were prepared beforehand. There was a reference to this, but we're going to see this a little more clearly. In 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 7, Revised Standard Version says, when the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry. Listen to this. So that neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron was heard in the temple while it was being built. In other words, the real work was done in the quarry, and it was very noisy. And if you can liken us to lively stones, which we are, we've been hammered by the enemy, have we not? We in God is chipping off all those things of the world. Our spirit man is perfect, but those things of the carnal nature, God is going to deal with. And just like a hammer or an axe or a tool of iron was hard, it was necessary in order to get that stone shape. Stone is really hard. And shall I continue the comparison, or do you get it? We can be pretty hard too. Hard of heart, hard of head, and we just don't get things. God's very patient with us though. And he's patient, and he's going to do the work. He's going to have a temple. So don't be fussing if you hear some hammers in the background, because God's working on you. None of us are finished yet, right? We can be encouraged by that. And then let me share a New Testament scripture found in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 5, Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." That's right, before we were saved. He first quickened us. That's what he did. He's shaping us. He made us holy and perfect in his sight, our spirit man. He's going to complete the work. He who began that good work is going to complete it. He quickened us, and now we're being built up into the tabernacle of the Lord. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Not only that, we're a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's a whole nother message. What are the New Testament sacrifices? I have to do that sometime. Yep. And also, point number 7, they were fitly framed together. Obviously, we know in the building and construction of any house, regardless of the materials, it has to be carefully constructed on a foundation, and all the things that the construction trades know about, they have to be done perfectly, they have to be done in a certain order, and that's true for us. There, and especially like with stones or bricks, there's a precision required. And so just as there's precision and forethought applied to a physical construction, in the New Testament, Ephesians 2:22, it says, "We are builded together for an habitation of God, all one in Christ Jesus." You see, God puts us separately. There's so much scripture I could share with you, but I trust you know, I'm familiar with the Word of God enough to know that God places us in the body as he chooses. So just like a contractor or a builder of a house, in fact, I have a neighbor. It started out as a garage, but it looks like it's a garage residence. He's building it. He built it from the ground up. Well, he's taken a lot of time, and he's doing really good work, but he's got to very carefully understand the physical principles of building something. And so we don't have to worry about that. We could never figure out really where we belong. And maybe if you're not too comfortable, maybe you're not in the right place. You know, sometimes we get ahead of God. We need to ask God, where do you want us? Not only in terms of a church, but in terms of the ministry, the place that he has for us. And so they were fitly framed together. That's what God has done. And then finally, the last element in the building process of the temple. The temple was, of course, built according to a divine pattern. It wasn't any of the masons' ideas or those who worked on it, how it was going to be done. No, there was a divine pattern that was to be followed, that was shown to David as he gathered all the precious instruments, all the precious, and he made a lot of musical instruments too, also for the priests to be able to worship God. But in the First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 12, it says, "The plans, moreover, included all that came by the Spirit who was with him." Who's him? That's a reference to David, the king. And of course, Christ is the image of the invisible God, and believers are created anew after the image of Christ. Galatians 2, 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, in other words, I'm dead. The old man is dead. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, we have to understand, God does not do away with our personality. No, He doesn't make us different. We're all very unique. He loves the diversity. If you've ever really examined and looked at the natural creation, the animals that live way down deep in the ocean, no one ever sees them. They live in darkness. The most incredible fish. I mean, they're really funny. God had a sense of humor. It's just incredible what He did. And the variety of plants and animals. He's just such a creative God. And so He knows exactly where He wants you. So you need to seek Him and find where He wants you to be. Praise God. Well, we have looked at and covered the 8 points that were important in the building of the Old Testament as it relates to the New Testament of believers. And now we're going to pursue what was the purpose of the temple. And there's 7 wonderful points that I want to share with you, but my time is moving on, and I need to bring this broadcast to a close. And in closing, as always, I invite you to write and share your testimonies, your praise reports, your prayer needs, and also if you're being blessed by the broadcast, I'd love to hear from new folks. It's always good to know you're listening. And know that if you do write a prayer request, I will definitely, if you use email, I confirm, I'll pray. But if you choose to email, I would ask if you desire to share your mailing address so that I could personally respond. And I've got files and files of testimonies how people are blessed by the ministry of correspondence, the letters I send back in response to other letters, as well as the monthly letters I send. I don't ask for offerings. I trust God for that, and God has been gracious to amazingly fulfill every need. And the purpose of the monthly letter and all the letters are to encourage, to inspire, whether through teaching, through prophetic word, whatever God wants. So, having said all that, I want you to know I love you and pray for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.